Hey, what's going on, Clipper Nation? It's me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am positive Chuck Mockler.
We are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Hell yeah.
We keep bringing you Clippers news 5 days a week. And just special shout out to anybody who is new to the podcast. Thank you so much for checking us out. Also, if your team has recently been eliminated, come on, hop on this Clippers bandwagon.
Make the clip flip. If you're a Mavs fan who doesn't hate the Clippers yet, you know, come through, come hang, root for us.
Clip flip is alive and well. And for those who have stayed rocking with us, hey, you know, thanks. We appreciate it.
We need it.
Today's Tuesday. We're going to be kicking things off with Twitter Tuesday. Thank you so much to everybody who sent in their questions ahead of time.
Hell yeah.
If you'd ever like an opportunity for your question to get featured on the show, go ahead, send that question over on Mondays to at Locked On Clips. Or if you just have a question in general, go ahead, shoot that over at Locked On Clips. I will update at Charles Mockler. We'd love hear from you.
Hell yeah.
So we're going to be getting into those. And then we have a Chuck has put out some first round awards, which so we're going to find out what Clippers, where they rank, who's our MVP, who's the sixth man of the first round.
Who's the LVP?
Who's the least valuable player of the first round. And then in shavings, we're going to have a little bit of talk about the possible Morris re-signing, as well as some interesting developments for Montrezl Harrell, and unfortunately another loss in the basketball world. So all that and more coming up right about now.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, so welcome to Twitter Tuesdays. Also, before we get into these questions, man, did it feel weird waking up and not having playoff stress for you today?
Yes, yeah.
I woke up and was like, oh, the Clippers don't play until Thursday. Okay. Kind of just hang out for a bit, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I guess everyone will just have to keep their eyes on that Jazz Nuggets game and see who's next.
Which we're going to be recording the Wednesday episode after that Jazz Nuggets game so we can kind of get the full picture of who we'll be facing in the second round. But let's get into these Twitter Tuesday questions. Dedicated listener, dedicated question asker, Film Cricket 55 asked earlier in the season, he believed Doc or she said something like Marcus and Reggie were great pickups and would win us a playoff game or two. Do you think that's already happened in the Mavs series? And how do you think this series would have went with Mo and no Reggie?
So yes, I already think that Marcus Morris has won us at least one game, if not two.
He bailed us out.
Yeah, maybe even three of those games that we won. And even in the losses, I mean, he was a huge part, even through shooting struggles, like just being a presence on both sides of the floor. So yeah, I mean, I think it's already happened. As for Reggie, like, you know, it's difficult to gauge just because the defense has been so awful, but you know, even in that last game, that win, like he hit some timely threes. I do think that his like catch and shoot game has been an extremely valuable asset, especially when we're a little depleted at the guard depth. Can he solely swing a series for the Clips? No.
He can swing it one way.
yeah, that's true. I mean, but can he positively swing a game for the Clips in a series? I mean, it would depend, but I think that might be a little bit of a stretch. If he was the guy we were relying on to, you know, put away a series, I would definitely be a lot more worried. But, you know, still a quality addition. You know, Pat did have some injury stuff during the regular season. I didn't think it was going to carry over this long through the bubble and through the first round of the playoffs. So I still do think that was a quality addition, especially just given, you know, we didn't have to give up anything to get him.
He was free.
And we had the space to sign him and, you know, roster space. So yeah, I still think it's a good signing. I don't know that he'll necessarily, like I said, swing a game, but Morris, I mean, I don't know. We're going to talk about it in the shaving segment, but you know, Morris has been just so incredibly valuable to this team.
I think those games where PG was really struggling, I mean, we absolutely needed Morris to get one of those wins. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
definitely.
He's been crazy efficient. And it's funny. I mean, I agree with everything on, I don't think Reggie's won us a game. He definitely has helped. His role just needs to be diminished, which is on Doc. You know, you can't put someone who's not that good at at defense in a position where they're getting switched on to Luka every single time, which isn't Reggie's fault.
Especially against a really good offense.
Yeah, crazy. But I don't think so with – I mean, obviously, I think with if we only, quote-unquote, only had Mo and didn't have Mook and Reggie, I think the series probably still goes six, but I think Kawhi probably has to do a lot more work just because I don't think – Mo could have as consistent of offensive performances as Mook had.
I agree.
PG was down. That's not a knock. He'd probably have one or two good games, but like what Morris was doing, you know, teams weren't even really respecting Mo behind the 3-point line. So,
no, I mean, that's the thing. It allows teams to play better defense against our stars if they're, you know, like completely neglecting a player on the, on the floor at any given time. I loved Mo. I thought his defensive versatility was great. Also just a great dude, but
good dude.
I mean, Morris, you know, like what Morris provides is just a lot more valuable.
Yeah. And I think we got to see it a lot. Sorry to Robert Flom for these words, of course. noted Mo aficionado. M Jones Vandy 3 wants to know what the guard rotation looks like when Pat comes back.
So,
because I was thinking about this too, like, where does Sham's minutes go?
Yeah.
Right? Like, is he kind of not done, but the teams we're playing from here on out have a whole lot of size. And I'm not seeing us run a lot of three-guard lineups.
No, for sure. Is this crazy? Like, what if while we're getting Pat back up to speed, he's coming off the bench with Lou, with Reggie coming out in like the third up minutes at the guard? And we just, I don't know, maybe just keep Shamit in the starting lineup. Is that crazy?
Whoa. I think it's a little crazy.
So you make Shamit, he'll probably be first sub out.
I think he has to be. In the next round, for sure.
Or, I mean, Doc, he'll be second sub out after, of course, Zoo is pulled off the floor. But, you know, like, my thing is obviously Pat knows the playbook better, a much better defender than Shannon, which no discredit to Shannon. I mean, he got a couple of steals. I was really impressed with what he was
doing. His efforts there,
Yeah. But I guess my thing is, like, the offense is just working so well. There's part of me that even given how great Pat is, don't get me wrong, easily the third most important Clipper, how much do we really need to change it if it's working?
Man, this is a spicy take. I don't know. I mean, I want Bev to get the run in, so like you get him on the second units. I think he just destroys those second units. Like,
because we're like just.
But against the Lakers, it's got to be Bev.
Oh no, I agree. I'm just saying for this round. I'm just saying while we ramp Pat back up because we need him infinitely more. If we make the Western Conference Final, we need him infinitely more. You know, if we do make it all the way to the finals, and instead of risking like a high usage thing now. You know, why not take what's working and ideally make it better?
That would be the adjustment of all adjustments by Doc. So what does that do to Reggie then? Is he banished to the shadow realm?
Like I said, he's like third string up on the guard.
Yeah.
On the guard position. If we need a little offensive swing, we can keep him off ball with the starters. And you know, have him just kind of spot up and do that kind of thing.
Man, I mean, I'm not on board with it.
I'm not saying it's the best call. I'm just posing the question. But we need him to get ramped up.
Like, you're right. Yeah. Like, so we're going into a series with one of two guards who are having historically great scoring performances in the playoffs. Mm-hmm.
Which I do think Pat is a good match for.
Oh, he is. But like, all right, so it's like you've been hurt. Now you're back. Now go guard Jamal Murray or Donovan Mitchell, who are playing their best that they've ever played.
Yeah.
That could be, man, I'm going to have to think about this. I like this idea. I'm on board with it. Nate, AKA Malonius, says thoughts on Zoo playing 30 plus minutes. How could you see his progress go up against the next matchup and Gobert Jokic? I don't know if Zoo should be at 30 plus. I like him at like 28, like that. Seems good because then we can get some more five out lineup times. And I think we might see Trez do better in this matchup just because he's not going to be against Boban. But I think like that 28 minute zone is great. And as far as going against Gobert and Jokic, I mean, I just hope he continues his effort and everything like that. If he's not fouling, I like Zoo, you know, as a whole, and when I say I like Zoo as a whole, he helps the defense so much more. And no, I'm okay with it. I mean, Jokic is very difficult to guard. And as long as, you know, Zoo, if we end up playing the Jazz, can stay quick on his feet with the pick and roll, I'm feeling okay.
Yeah, I mean, so like my thing with the Zoo stuff has been pretty matchup based. Obviously, he's proved himself and earned the right for, I mean, 25 plus minutes, I think, pretty handedly. So, you know, like looking at the matchup, I haven't actually dug into the numbers yet for him in both of these matchups throughout the season. But if we look to do something more aggressive on ball, like do the kind of trapping that we did with Zoo on Luka, I mean, I think that poses a lot of problems for Denver, especially because, I think Well, Murray is a good scorer. I mean, I guess a little inconsistent. I think that he is going to have a lot more trouble doing the facilitating that Luka was able to do.
For sure.
So for that reason alone, I think you got to have Trez out there on the, or not Trez, but Zoo out there on the defensive end for, you know, as many minutes as he can stay out there due to both, you know, fouls. He's still going to need to provide some offensive spark as well, which, you know, his finishing and stuff has looked a lot better, hasn't gotten a whole lot of attempts, but it, you know, it's looked good from what we've seen. So I don't know about 30 plus. I think that to me, that's just a matchup dependent thing. If it's working, I don't know. Like, once again, I don't know why you would go away from it. But you know, if we need the offensive punch of Trez and, you know, Trez is ready for that challenge, you know, then you got to give him some more minutes. I guess I also, with the 30 plus minutes for Zoo,
it's a lot.
Yeah. I mean, and I don't know, like less than 20 minutes for Trez. We are still ramping him up and he does still need to get his legs under him, but
looked fresher in game six. Did look a lot fresher in game six against the Mavs.
But we just don't have a whole lot of time to get Trez up to speed. And ultimately at the end of the day, we do have some different kind of lineups we can throw out there. Obviously Jermichael or Mook at the five, go a little smaller, but I don't know, man. So much of our regular season success was definitely a credit to Trez. So I guess I do have some questions or concerns if we're not able to get him to that level, the deeper we go in these playoffs.
Yeah, 100%. Great underscore with a heater. Do you think the Mavs will be the team's toughest opponent this playoff run? And do you see Doc learning from mistakes, having the team better prepared moving forward? I do not think the Mavs are the toughest opponent. I think it's probably going to be, hopefully, the Lakers, and then the toughest opponent will be in the finals, because we don't know what this Clippers team is going to look like in the finals, and I mean that in an excited way. And I hope Doc learned. I mean, the Shaman adjustment was big. We saw him, you know, adjust with the trapping and stuff like that, and a little less switching. So I think it just might take him a couple games.
Yeah,
in whatever series we're in, except for the Lakers, because we know exactly what they're going to throw at us. So I think it just takes like a couple games.
Definitely. As far as the hardest in the playoffs, I mean, I don't think it'll be the hardest. I do think that it was a hard matchup.
First round matchup.
Yes, a really tough first round matchup. I do think that overall, maybe the Mavs gave us a little bit more trouble than we might see in the second round.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I mean, it's too early to judge, especially like if we're gonna have to have a feel out game and whatnot. For whoever we end up playing. But I mean, to their credit, like they were a great challenge. And I think that what was great to see was, Doc making some adjustments that were beneficial, getting to see, you know, how effective Zoo can be on offense or defense against, you know, really great offenses. And I gotta say, man, I know that some people are kind of down on the fact that our first round went six games, but like, okay, so like
we got out of it. No Pat Bev. I don't know what else we could have done.
I mean,
or five, and
other than rest, truly, what's the benefit of like putting a team away really quick? I mean, like rest is good, but I think a challenge is better.
One that you win, which is nice.
Yeah, when you're looking to get guys ramped up and you're looking guys to get to that championship level of execution and like defensive communication, as well as just sort of like offensive feel, you know. So I think a harder challenge is good ultimately.
Agreed. I'm happy we're out of the first round. Real quick, one word answer. We got a bunch of questions. Utah or Denver? Who would you rather play, Utah or Denver? One word answer, go.
I'm thinking Denver.
Okay, that was three. I'm thinking Denver too, actually. So I'm going to take that same thing. We will know officially at the end of, what's tomorrow, Tuesday? Mm-hmm. We'll record that Wednesday episode. Kind of a bit of a first round preview. Our second round preview, excuse me. Coming up, we're going to be giving out our Locked On Clippers first round awards. Again, thank you for all the questions. You can send your Twitter Tuesday questions on Monday to @LockedOnClips. We will answer them. Coming up, first round awards.
Okay, so we're back. The Clippers have successfully put away their first round matchup. And it's time to take a look at give some awards for the players who helped us through this one, as well as the players who didn't.
And I mean, we'll start with the MVP, but this is a pretty obvious select. It's Kawhi Leonard. It's, I mean, 33, 10, and 5 in 39 minutes a game, plus 6.3 rating, shot 54, 29, 85 from the floor.
Oof, 29. Oof.
I know. It's not, you're like, that's okay. And then everything else is pretty elite. So, I mean, he's shooting what? We talked about it last episode, like 74% on those.
In some mid-range scenarios.
In that mid-range thing. We're getting playoff Kawhi right now. It's insane to see.
Definitely. And it's, you know, it's wild that he's still, like, improving his playoff performance from last year. He's undoubtedly the MVP. He in some situations maybe had to do more than I would have liked him to have to do in a first round, but you know, like I said in the last segment, you know, maybe ultimately that's good to take on challenges early to be ready for the sort of next round. But yeah, he's unquestionably the MVP. Like, just there were times where it was just a word I use with Kawhi sometimes is just inevitable.
Yeah, that's great, dude. He had an 11-0 personal run. I think it was game two or something like that. Like, there's just going to be a time when you're like, okay, it's Kawhi's turn to play the game.
And five steals. Like, I mean, just some insane performances. So, yeah, that, no question there.
And he would have had more assists if people would have been hitting shots, which is the funnier part. Right. He truly would have. Sixth man of the first round is an interesting one to look at, because if you look at the bench numbers, I mean, in terms of scoring, Lou Will was the best bench scorer. He averaged 16, 3, and 4, 27 minutes per game, plus 1.8 rating, which is great. Shot 50, 33, 83 from the field. Third highest points per game on the team in the first round. No one else on the bench really, numbers-wise, pops out at all, which I think is a testament to the fact that we got through this series.
This one is difficult just because, you know, we do have some weird kind of rotational things going on right now without Pat. Yeah.
There's a couple like 5.5, 6.5 guys that are kind of in this conversation, I think.
Yes. So, I mean, I think Lou is a good bet, is a good choice. I think that this is going to be unpopular, but I feel like offensively, Reggie has been much better in the six man kind of role.
That's fair. And catch and shoot scenarios, love it. I said it on the Locked On Clips Twitter, spiteful threes all day. Give me them. Let's give me spiteful threes. Nothing else.
Yeah, but overall, kind of a rough series for the bench. Just being accustomed to what we were in the regular season. But yeah, I like Lou. I feel like that's a good pick, especially if we're in this series. I don't know that you can count Shamet as a bench guy.
Right? Like, it's so weird. It's like he's, you know, we just kind of talk about how his minutes are going to be so goofy when Pat comes back probably. And he's not usually a starter. And he's definitely not a point. So he's kind of like that 5.5, like, weird split where it's like almost weird scenario player of the first round, I guess, is like what Sham would win, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
trial definitely. By fire. I guess the trial by fire award goes definitely. To Sham.
One person that I was hoping we would have seen like a little bit more of a flourish of would be Jamichael Green.
Oh, agreed 110%.
So, and that's nothing against him. He didn't quite get as many shots up as, you know, like maybe, I mean, he needs to get into tempo, but I don't know. He would have been an early vote for me pre-series, like as a possible sixth man of the series, but I don't know. We'll see. Hopefully he can bounce back next round.
Well, I think we all kind of thought we'd see more small ball with Jamichael at the five, like a little bit more, or at least he'd be more active. I mean, he only averaged 5 points and two boards in 14 minutes a game.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, his shooting splits, hey, he shot 50, 42, and 80, so 42% from three is not bad, but the, you know, the attempts just aren't substantial enough to be really jacked on that. And like, he helps the spacing and things like that for sure, but stats wise, hoping he can get it better for next round for sure. Now here's the interesting one. Least valuable player of first round.
Oh, I hate this.
Oh, it's tough. But when you figure out the list of the most popular kids, there's always people at the bottom of the list.
That's fair.
So like, as a whole, because of scenarios he was put into by our coach, I mean, Reggie was kind of at some points the least valuable player. Just because of the defense.
Yeah, I mean, he was a huge liability, but I don't think he's alone in sharing that. I mean, I think that he contributed, even despite the defense, I think that he contributed more to winning than, say, Montrezl Harrell did in that season or that series. Also, like,
who, again, put in rough positions because of Doc Rivers.
Also, if like you grade on a curve, which I feel like you a little bit have to, I mean, Paul George,
that's a good
is in
call.
That, Paul George is in that conversation, too.
I almost put him, yeah, three stinkers.
He did have a bounce back in game five, and you know he did start playing more elite level defense as the series went on. But I mean,
I guess four stinkers because game six was rough too.
Yeah, well, I mean that one wasn't a complete stinker, and he did play very good defense.
Way better defense, yeah.
But yeah, he's got to be in that conversation, man. Like he was gone. He was gone. Games two, three, and four.
That's fair. Yeah, Trez, 9-3 in 18 minutes, minus 5.2 rating, 61% from the field, 55% from the line, which hurts, I think. I think with some of this stuff, like if you have Reggie and Trez in this conversation, part of it you could argue that maybe Doc was the least valuable player.
Oh, shit!
Because you're right. Like I tweeted about this, like, you know, he tweeted about, or he said he wanted to avoid Reggie Sham more than Reggie Lou, but we saw Reggie Lou and Sham on the floor together in a bunch of scenarios and with Trez thrown in there too. So we got the win, but there were times when it was like, I mean, a lot of Clippers fans, I think, were maybe clamoring that maybe Doc could be considered least valuable Clipper for this first round for some of the games.
Yeah, I mean, so this is real. I feel like this one's kind of hard because, you know, a bunch of players that we did mention, as well as Doc, like, did get better as the series went on.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't want to pick one single one, but if I did, it would be
all
this.
Of them. All right, so then most improved player, we got Zoo, Sham, and I put Marcus Morris because, you know, you can improve from being good, you know. That's not a knock to be most improved. Who's your pick for this one? This is kind of a tough one.
Oof. I might have to go Sham it, actually.
That's fair.
I think that he surpassed my expectations the most. I was a little low on him coming into the playoff series and coming into the bubble.
I think a lot of people were. It looked a little rough.
Yeah. But especially in that game five, I mean, he looked great. He did things with the ball that I didn't think he would be capable of at this high of a level. And man, he just really rose to the challenge. Whereas, like, I'm not going to say that those other guys don't deserve it, but we all kind of know what we can expect from Zoo. Doc doesn't, but we all, as fans, seem to know. And then as far as Morris, man, like, he definitely belongs in that conversation because of what he did. But if I'm looking at sheerly, like, who super surpassed my expectations, it has to be Shamit for me.
I'm going to put Shamit at number two. I have to go Zoo. Some of the defense he played with, you know, the other Clippers on Luka, and there were times when it was just Luka and Zoo, like one-on-one. It was insane. It was crazy to see, you know, the improvement from last year. Like,
that's true.
He looks locked in. I think the bubble environment's helping Zoo a lot. I have no proof of that. But it seems like he like a guy who's thriving in the bubble. I think Shamit is too, actually. But yeah, Zoo 11-7 plus a block, 65% from the field, 85% from the line, and a team best plus 13 throughout the whole series. So, you know, he makes the team better, but I mean, I think him and Sham are kind of neck and neck. But I got to give the edge to Zoo.
Yeah, then, no, that's a good call. That makes sense.
And then best stat line, of the first round. We're closing it out with this. We have Kawhi in game six, who had 33, 14, 7 assists, and 5 steals. So, you know, I think that one might be in the early running. Zoo in game six, 15 and 11, and a team best plus 33. Yeah, Kawhi in game three, 36, 9, 8, and 2 steals plus a block. And then PG's game five, 35 points on 66% shooting in less than 25 minutes. First player to ever do that. What do you think? Or is there a dark horse one that I missed? Jermichael Green did have a 0-0-0-0-0-1 stat line that was pretty tight.
Yeah, man, these are all so good, I guess. I guess I'm leaning Kawhi in game six just because 5 steals on a playoff game is insane to me.
Closeout game too.
Yeah, closeout game. But I mean, argument for any of these is very, very strong. I guess 2 is kind of tied for me between Zoo and PG, just because, well, I don't know. Some of the PG stuff is just because that bounce back was so nice. But Zoo, I mean,
yeah.
Oh yeah. I mean, he's like at, he's at like double levels now in the playoffs. And yeah, I don't know. He's been as good as he can be.
I swear Zoo's stats, no matter how many times he gets more than 7 rebounds, he's just only going to average 7 rebounds for a season for the rest of his life. I feel like every time I watch him, he gets like 12, but his average just never moves. I might have to give it to PG just because, I mean, 66% is absurd. And I am, I guess this is a bit of a narrative-based vote because of what happened post-game with his comments. I think that was great, too, like to be as open about it. But yeah, I mean, it's a toss-up. Let us know what you think for any of these award options at Locked On Clips. We can argue. We can maybe agree. Who knows? Coming up, Trez posted about Legos. We're going to be talking Morris re-signed. But first, hey, guys, Will, how many cars do you own?
Not enough.
You're always talking about buying new cars.
I'm trying to build more. And the best place to build a vehicle from scratch is rockauto.com.
Hell yeah.
They're a family business that's been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Mm. You can shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They got everything you need, whether it's for, you know, your Franken car that you're building, whether it's for your daily driver, you know, whatever. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. You can see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low. They're the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. So why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck or van. Right Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com.
All right. I just bought so many engine control modules. We got a fun one to start shavings off with. Trez posted on his IG story about Legos. Seems like he's going to get into it. A dude made a custom Trez figurine and a pretty sick Clippers court. Shout out to all the people who enjoyed Legos as a youth. And had the Trez figurine hit a 3, which was great. Oh, Trez also shot 50% from beyond the arc in the first round of playoffs. Something we didn't talk about.
That is absurd.
But this is a good time. I think this is a perfect bubble activity, right? Like, you're not doing anything.
Yeah.
Might as well make some Legos. This had me thinking, do we think there's any Clippers player that enjoys ships in a bottle? Do we think that I had Shamit down as someone who I could see enjoying making ships in a bottle.
I could see maybe Pat, like, to calm down, he's like building little ships in a bath.
Oh, I gotta make a little ship. That's a good call. I would love it if Pat had a 6 ships in the bottle collection. But now for the big discussion, how are we feeling about re-signing Morris? Are you pro it? There's a lot of hate right now.
I mean, I'm very pro it. I think ultimately what it boils down to is like how much, right?
How much cash?
What's that number look like and what do we have to lose in order to keep that? I don't know if he can stay away from some of the more silly fouls.
I think that's a fair way to say it. Yeah.
Like getting ejected because like ultimately, you know, that could be a nail in the coffin in a closely contested series, but you know, assuming that he can play at the level he's been playing at, and maybe just kind of stay away from some of the techs and stuff like that. I think he's definitely worth a re-sign. And I would not have said that at the break leading into the – before we came to the bubble. I would not have been a big enough fan of the fit or the value to confidently say that we should re-sign him. I don't know. The thing I love about Morris is, like, he's one of those guys that you love to have on your team.
Oh, yeah.
All other 29 teams hate to play against him.
And they hate you for having him on your team.
Yes. So it's like almost by that virtue alone, I think it's like a necessary thing to maintain Morris to keep him from going to maybe another Western Conference team.
Yeah. I mean, I like what he does for the identity of the team. The team has kind of talked about how they lost that last year, you know, like underdogs, fight for it type mentality. And he does bring that. He does. There are some downsides to it, as we saw a little bit. But he helps that out when people need it, especially if Bev can't, you know, if Bev's not playing, because I think a lot of that attitude comes off of Bev and Trez when they're playing well. You know, they play with chips on their shoulders, and that feeds off, you know, the rest of the team feeds off that. I think Morris does too. He's just been available and been playing so well that right now it's like maybe part of it's recency bias on my part. But yeah, I mean, I want to re-sign him. There's going to be some teams with money who kind of historically don't know what to do with it. So that will be something to keep an eye on, I think, too.
Yeah, yeah.
It would be, yeah, man, that's going to be, and we still got to worry about, you know, signing Trez and all that good stuff. But yeah, I'm pro it. I think most Clippers fans are pro re-signing Mook.
Yeah, if you're not, let us know at Locked On Clips. I'd like to hear another argument against it.
Yeah, and like honestly, like the legitimate, like him doing stupid fouls is kind of a legitimate argument against it.
Oh, totally.
We'll see what happens with. I don't think he's going to be suspended. There's really no reason for him to be suspended. But yeah, it's interesting. He's playing so damn well right now. He's really helping out his own case.
Definitely.
In terms of contracts, which is awesome.
Definitely.
And then bit of a somber note. We got to end on this one. RIP coach John Thompson.
RIP.
God damn, man. This year just sucks. Coach Thompson is I was telling Will before we recorded, one of the first human beings who I ever saw a picture of and just understood how large a human could be. you could tell in pictures of John Thompson what he was all about. Like, you saw a picture of John Thompson and you heard him speak and you're like, oh, this man is not messing around with anything. He wants greatness. Charles Barkley had a quote on Inside the NBA about how Thompson wanted to, you know, help mold great black men. And people were talking about how they used to think Georgetown was an HBCU because of how just big John Thompson's influence was on that team. And man, 2020, it's just, goddamn. It's August, bummer. But I'm tired of this shit.
Yeah, I'm definitely tired of this shit.
Anything else in shavings?
Nah, I don't think so. Everybody just beware of what's going on in that Utah-Denver series.
Yeah.
It'll be coming to a close, and let's look forward to the next round of Clippers basketball, baby.
Yeah, we're recording this on a Monday, so, you know, everyone enjoy these next couple of days of no stress, because, hey, the stress is coming back on Thursday in a very big way.
Oh, yeah.
Make sure you hit Costco and get a large thing of antacids and whatever adult beverage you prefer. Thanks, everyone, for listening. To the new people, hey, thanks for hanging. To the old listeners, again, thanks for getting new people to listen. We love doing this pod for you guys. It's been great. Will, where can these people find us?
You can check us out on iTunes or the podcast app. If you haven't already, please subscribe. Tell your friends. You can also check us out on Google Podcasts, on Spotify, on Stitcher. Once again, subscribe if you haven't already. Leave a rating or review. We love it. We'd love to know what you think, how we could improve. And you can also tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Clippers.
Hell yeah. Wednesday's episode, where we have discussing either if it's Denver or Utah, kind of just whole season outlooks for that. There's going to be some presser vibes, of course. And then whatever else happens to you now and then in Clipperland, maybe Trails will get a new Lego set. Again, thank you, everyone, for listening. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike.